So I got a guy on hold that I'm bringing in, and I'm pretty sure you got an idea. But I'm going to give you some stats on the resume, and you tell me when you got it. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. High school All-American.
Mm-hmm.
Number retired in college.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bowl Coalition National Champ. Two-time All-American.
Mm-hmm.
Number retired in the pros.
Derrick Brooks.
Indeed, you're right. I now welcome to the show the Hall of Famer, the Super Bowl champion, the 11-time Pro Bowler. His golf game is okay, but he is one heck of a good dude. Number 55 retired in Tampa. Number 10 retired for Travis Johnson's Florida State Seminoles. D. Brooks, welcome to the show, and I give you Keenan McCardell.
Bo, what's up, man?
I'm man, happy birthday. I'm disappointed it took you six things to guess.
No, I already kind of knew.
That must mean you're getting old.
I may be getting a little old. You know, but, you know, just a little bit. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Coach. How about you, man? Happy birthday, obviously, to you. And obviously, it's a pleasure. Anytime I get a chance to chop it up with you and catch up with you, man, and your girls and see what's going on in your world of educating these young men, whether through mentor, coaching, you name it. But Joel, I tell you, man, he's one of the best men that I had the pleasure of playing with and knowing in this game. Even when we was on the opposite sides of the ball when he was in Jacksonville, we just kind of built a friendship through that. And the first crack in the door that Jacksonville allowed him to leave, we came up there with a sledgehammer to break it open for him to come here to Tampa. So we knew that he was the missing piece that we needed to win a Super Bowl, special and off.
I thank you, man, because I remember that. You remember the dinner that we had, John?
Yeah.
Groove flew us in, flew me in, and I get off the plane, and, you know, he say, man, you gonna go to dinner with some of the players. You know, most time when you go on a visit in the NFL, you might go with one
right,
or two.
Right.
Man, we were at, Charlie's?
It was Malio's
at the time. We basically had the whole defensive side of the ball and Brad Johnson. We had everybody there. We had a party, basically, and it was a done deal.
Yeah, I was going to say, no wasn't an option at that point.
No wasn't an option because Bo wasn't going to let me. Brooks wasn't going to let me say no. Sapp wasn't going to let me say no. John Lynch wasn't going to let me say no. And Brad wasn't gonna let me say no, so it was.
No, we definitely. It was, Joe. It was a fun time, and John had set it up to, you know, hey, you know, these are some things that we're hearing. So he kind of was telling us all week long that there's a possibility,
mm-hmm.
And he said, if you guys are championship, you know, he always poked at us.
Yes.
He said, if you guys are a championship defense, if your, you know, kahunas are as big as you think they are, you got to close a deal. He said, you guys got to close a deal for us to win a world championship. He said, if you don't get this guy, he said, we will fall short every time. So we like, you know, so now we're searching around. Who is he talking about? What missing piece, you know, is he talking about? You know, just couldn't put it together. So the evening before, you know, they flew up to get him, he said, we're about all, you know, all you guys coming here, and I'm bringing them in here. He said, we're locking the doors. We're not opening the restaurant again until Keenan McCardell signs a contract to play with Tampa. We was like, what? We got a chance to get him? He's like, Coach, set it up. Set it up. It's done.
And it worked out.
It worked out.
And I was going to say, perfect. D, you got to understand now, I met you through him. And because he's on with us a lot, I have to be careful how much credit I give this guy, because even when I do, you know how he gets. Then he starts, you know, feeling his oats and starts, you know, that strut down the hallway, like, you know, I got this. I'm like, say, so we do it in moderation, but from time to time, especially a time like this, I do like to make sure that people know that he is a better guy off the field than he ever was as a player on the field, and he was special on the field. So we really appreciate you you joining us, because I know the times that we had playing golf in Tahoe too. Those were some pretty good days to be spent. We used to call it the Boys Club, where we did nothing but golf, and those were
yes,
fun.
Yes, yes,
yes. Yeah, and it was, and you know, obviously, you know, the man Keenan is speaks for itself, and in terms of how he leads. And, you know, you get a chance to meet people in your career, honestly, that, you know, football affords this for life. And that's the great thing about this game, that, you know, when you put fast the physicality of what it is and just the life lessons that football presents, the next level of it is relationships. And the relationships that you build just over a lifetime, that, you know, I'll give anything I can, my left arm, for this man and his family.
Likewise.
And I know he feels, you know, the same about me and my family, Joe. And obviously speaking, you know, you in the same realm, but a relationship with him. And that's why, you know, I sit back at times, you know, when you have a reflection. I don't reflect more about my career. I reflect more about, you know, the people that God blessed me to touch. And Keenan comes across my mind, and obviously he knows how I feel, man, in terms of him being a Hall of Famer on the field and off the field. And I know his day is coming, man, because he transcended this game. And not just that one year. If you look at my man's last years here in Tampa,
question.
He showed that he can carry that point in his career, and the young men that played with him, the careers that they went and had. So, to me, that's what speaks volumes about it. When you can elevate someone else's game and continue to push yourself to that next level, that's what being a Hall of Famer is all about.
And I told him, D, I said, look, you know what? It's pass happy these days in the NFL, and we know it watching it on a weekend wake-out basis, and that's made a lot of stats get inflated. But when he stepped away from the game, aside from the fact that he and Jimmy were the most prolific tandem in NFL history, which people didn't realize, but when then you look at it statistically, when he stepped away and he was in the top 10 in receptions and yards and all these different categories, and you're like, that's before it went nuts and off the charts from a passing game standpoint. That should get a little extra cred because of the fact that he did it at a time when it was more balanced.
Yeah, and also, again, you know, we're saying this because this thing is true. When you talk about receivers, and now they talk about different types. Is he a number one? Is he a number two? Is he a possession? Is he a speed guy? Is he a quick guy? Man, whatever receiver you want to call it, you can put 8 to 7 in it. Because he did it all. When he needed to be downfield, stress the defense, he did. When he needed to be a red zone receiver, he did. When he needed to be a slot receiver, possession receiver, move the chain, he did. When he had to teach others and take the step back to let others lead, he did. When it was time for him to lead and lead the team, he did. So when I look at all the types of receivers, it, again, just to continue to build a resume, that's what K-Mac was able to do. Not just for a splash in the pan. We talking about years.
Yeah, for sure.
Sustainability of greatness. You know, but that's what he was able to do.
It's funny you say that because I listen to guys say, well, you know, this guy's a slot guy. This guy's an outside guy. Man, when we play, you have to be a receiver. You have to be able to do both.
Yeah.
And because if you didn't do both, defenses didn't respect you. I mean, when you step out on the field, if you was just an outside speed guy, the defense would be like, well, he's going deep. That's all he's going to do. Let's just watch him. Let's just watch him. Hey, he's a slot guy. He's just going to run a 5-yard route. I mean, that right there kind of gets at me now with the way people mold these receivers now. I'm like, the word wide receiver means your total package, not just a specialty package. And a lot of these guys these days are fortunate enough to get paid in this league just because they play one position. They don't play all the positions at receiver. So, you know, I always look, you know, when I'm coaching, I look for a guy that can play it all. And it's the most value for a guy that, I mean, for the team and for that, for you as a coach and for that person.
Okay, look, I want to say this, D. First of all, this is his day. I know that. But you know the saying, birds of a feather flock together. I'm not going to take a few seconds here to say, look, on the flip side, if you want to talk about someone that did the exact same thing on the defensive side of the ball, that is a role model and a living example of how to do it on and off the field, that's 55. That's Derek Brooks.
All day long. I mean, he's the best leader that I've been around, man. And it was funny on a Super Bowl team. It's funny. Me and him would be in the locker room. We'd have Warren Sapp on one side of the locker room, Keyshawn Johnson on the other side of the locker room. Me and him meet in the middle. He say, you take care of your guy, I'll take care of my guy.
You know what? It's a shame, too, because I guarantee you if Travis Johnson was here today, he'd say the same thing about you because I know how Seminole Nation is, too. Yeah. But You know what? That's why it's special to have you two guys on together, but have be able to call both you guys friends, because, I mean, they don't get any better, and they threw away the mold when they made guys like you guys, and it's just it's special when you guys are sharing memories like that. So we really appreciate you joining us. I don't know if you got to go. We got to get a break real quick. If we can come back,
if you got a chance, we'll talk
a little football.
All right, I can hang on for another segment.
Yeah, we'll just do one more quick segment. Nick, we'll take a break, then we'll be right back with Derek Brooks. Don't go anywhere. This is ESPN 97.5. Joel Blank, the birthday boy, Keenan McCardell, and on our special day, when we honor the 29th birthday of Keenan McCardell for the 56th time, I welcome back Hall of Famer and a teammate of his for Super Bowl champ Derek Brooks. And D. Brooks, we appreciate the love and spending some time. I know you're a busy man, and you're still in that Arena Football League stuff, are you not?
Yes, I'm currently still running the Tampa Bay Storm Arena team, and we start our season up here the first week of April through the first week of August, kind of giving a football fix before the NFL get going. And my current job, you know, in terms of the NFL is, you know, being an appeals officer for the players.
I bet you that's been exciting, huh?
I bet you it's eventful. It's eventful.
Yes, it has definitely been more of an education in terms of really staying connected to the players and just working, you know, with Troy Benson and the operations staff. It gives you, you know, a different appreciation and a different lens in terms of dealing with, you know, NFL players and coaches. And I'm just trying to, again, do what I can to help out as much as I can, not just with players, but, you know, the former player platform as well. And a lot of players such as, you know, K-Mac too, are into coaching. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really, you know, leaning on teams in the NFL just through my small role to embrace the idea of how we continue to get former players that are taking coaching seriously involved, whether it's, you know, high school, college, pro ranks. You know, now you're starting to see that turnover in players that are seriously getting involved in coaching, because some of them are players, you know, playing, or excuse me, not playing as long and retiring earlier, but also have a different vision of investing into the game. So a lot of that, you know, obviously my man K-Mac there is, you know, involved in the coaching aspect, and he can speak more about that. But that's just some of the small things I do right now.
Those are not small things.
Those are not small things.
And we're glad you're still involved in the game, because it can only make the game better, and Lord knows in certain areas it needs it. But with that being said, D, we want to get your opinions on some things with the NFL. It's wild card weekend. There's four games, and I know you're still in contact with these games. You got a pretty good finger on the pulse of what's going on. So people here obviously concerned about the Texans, but they're hosting the Raiders, and we just want to get your takes on the four games. What do you see when you see Houston hosting Oakland this weekend?
Well, you know, they both got to their current quarterback position in very different ways.
Yes.
And you tend to lean on Houston being more experienced at the quarterback position and hosting a home playoff game. I tend to give them the edge right now just from where Oakland is today. But at the same time, they cannot underestimate Oakland's offensive line. And if they're able to dictate that game and control the pace and allow the running game to get going to keep Cook comfortable in the pocket on manageable downs, that's going to be a problem. So with Houston, I would say the defense holds and the offense got to get out. Got to get out and score points. You just got to think, because Oakland don't have the explosiveness of the offense because Derek Carr is not there, if Houston can get out early and put up some points, that they will be fine. So I would say that's the formula there, is control the tempo up front, try to extend and keep it a two-score game and get Oakland out of its comfort zone. I think that would be the key to the Texans being able to win it. On the flip side,
that's old defensive mindset right there. Only two scores, huh? That's the defensive mindset.
Hey, keep two scores ahead. They'll be fine. But again, on the flip side, if Oakland's offensive line, which has been very good all year, can dictate the tempo, then, you know, that tipped the scales towards the Raiders.
All right. What about the 7-15 game with the Detroit Lions and the Seattle Seahawks? What do you see in that matchup?
You know, you see how, first of all, you look and see how is weather going to impact that game. Seattle is used to playing in those elements, and Detroit is not.
37 degrees, my weather report says at game time, D.
It could be wet, rainy, but one thing is definitely going to be is loud.
We both know how hard it is, huh, to play there.
Yes, it is. So how can Detroit manage the noise? But based on Seattle's history, you know, you give them the experience history of being able to pull through. But that is the one game this weekend. If you say people probably wouldn't be surprised at an upset, is that one. Because they just haven't been as dominant as they've been in the past. And that's when you're comparing, you know, the Seattle teams that went to the Super Bowl to this year. You can say their defense hadn't been as dominant. But for me, you know, I look at they're at home. They still
Seattle's at home
in the playoffs, and they can, you know, obviously control the tempo. But
people said losing Earl Thomas had a bigger value than most people thought initially. That Earl Thomas, because he takes care of the back half of that defense, and that was a huge loss for them.
Yeah, and then the injury factor. Yeah. You know, they've not played with, you know, their starting 11, maybe a handful of snaps.
True.
But that's what I was saying about Detroit, though. When people have counted them out this year, they found a way to win.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that, yes, they've struggled and they seem to be limping into the playoffs, but they're going to lean on the fact that they found a way. And sometimes just finding a way is all you need to do is win, especially this part of the season.
Speaking of weather.
Oh, no.
And the fact that I had to get to this game because, as Keenan hates every single week, he knows my favorite team plays in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Brooks, hold on before he tell you this. He's dressed out in all-green Packer uniform right now.
Oh, no. Tell me. Not a uniform.
I mean, it's a warm-up.
Yeah, it's the warm-up.
And he has the beanie also. Hey, and he has the jacket.
The only thing he's missing is the cheese head.
That's all he... Oh,
D, I got one. I just vowed that it'll never touch my head. I can tell you that. But it sits on the coffee table in the man cave. But, talk about a game that's going to have weather. I'm hearing today it's minus 21 with a minus 11 wind chill, temperature and then the wind chill factor. What are you seeing, Giants at Packers?
It's easy to say and not far-fetched to believe the winner of this game you can see going all the way.
Whoa! Brooks,
preach, yes. preach. Yes. Let him go.
The formula of what the Giants have done all year long.
Right.
The defense has carried them, but the offense has showed up when they've had to give them timely plays and win games.
Okay.
The experience at the quarterback position with Eli, they can say what they want to say, but he's been consistent when he needed to be consistent in the postseason. Gotten his team into a Super Bowl and won it twice. And their defense, again, the timely plays, they've been great across that back end, that secondary. They've been tremendous. And they can disrupt Aaron Rodgers in the passing game. The second reason why I say this, the winner of this game, because now flip side, look at the offense. They found their rhythm in Green Bay.
Right.
And that rhythm has turned out to end up in them running the table and getting hot at the right time, which they did last time they were in a Super Bowl.
True.
But that's why I wouldn't put it, and the NFC is still wide open, despite what Dallas has done all season. NFC still wide open. That's why I say the winner of this game, I would not be surprised if they went all the way.
You know, this guy's smiling over
here. Oh, my God.
D-Brooks
can preach anytime he wants to preach on that topic. I'm listening all years. I love that.
All right. The last game, which is the first game Sunday, is the Miami Dolphins and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I picked the Steelers to be in the Super Bowl on the AFC side.
Don't lead the man. Let him talk.
Well, I want him to, you know, let him see what I pick, you know. But let me see what are you saying? What are you seeing this, Bo?
I see this game being a blowout in the other direction. I don't expect Miami to be close. I think the Steelers is the other team that has gotten hot at the right time, just like Green Bay. To go and literally, let's say, challenge New England.
Okay.
They got the recipe to go in there, and the only team that's in the AFC right now that I see that has a legitimate shot of going to Foxborough and knocking off the New England Patriots into a Super Bowl. So So I expect, obviously, you know, I'm clapping because I'm in Florida. Glad Miami has accomplished what they've accomplished with losing their starting quarterback. But I just can't imagine right now the way the Steelers have turned their season around that Miami is going to go in there and get a win. This won't be the same game that was in the first quarter of last season, I promise you.
Okay. Well, we appreciate the knowledge, Derek, and always a pleasure. Always welcome on this show. And you know that there are two guys here that will do anything for you at any time. All you got to do is say the word. But Derek Brooks has been our guest, the Hall of Famer, the Super Bowl champ, and the really good friend of one. Happy birthday, Keenan McCardell. D, have a great weekend, and keep doing what you're doing, and we love you, and we appreciate you joining the show.
Love you, Brooks.
Oh, absolutely. Take care, K-Mac, and I look forward to talking to you here when I get out there for the Super Bowl.
All right.
Derek Brooks has been our guest. Doesn't get any better than that.